Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. According to a 2015 Gallup poll, 3 in 4 Americans believe in paranormal activity, including 37% that believe in haunted houses. To have a little fun on Halloween, SDPB's Steve Zwemke joins us for a discussion about some places in our region that, as legend has it, are haunted. Steve, are you one of the 3 in 4 who believe?
I am actually part of the 1 in 4. I'm a skeptic, but we have somebody here that may change both of our minds today. Joining us on Dakota Midday is Michael Clean. Michael has a master's in history from Eastern Illinois University, also a master's in education from Western Illinois University, and he's also the editor of MysteriousHeartland.com. And Michael joins us from New York today. Michael, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. We actually tried to do this a year ago, and I believe you were overseas, so we kind of kept you in the memory bank for the last 12 months so we could do this on Halloween this year. Now, last year, Michael wrote a piece, The Top 10 Most Haunted Places in the Dakotas. And first of all, I want to ask you, Michael, what sparked your interest in the paranormal or unsolved mysteries, if you will?
Well, that's going way back. I mean, it may be when I was a kid watching Unsolved Mysteries, that television show by that same name. It might have been movies that I watched, but I honestly really don't know. It's just something that I've kind of always been interested in.
The obvious question would be, have you had an experience that would fall into the unexplained yourself?
I have not, actually, even though I visited probably over 100 of these locations, and I've never actually encountered anything there, but there's always that hope that maybe someday I will.
Sure. Are you a believer?
I am, I would say, because I've talked to so many different people who have had unusual experiences or seen strange things or things I can't explain, and it just seems like there's too many people for nothing to be going on.
Yeah. We're going to run through this list. We mentioned last year your column that you wrote, Top 10 Most Haunted Places in the Dakotas. I don't know that we'll have time to go through all 10, so we'll have listeners check out your website, MysteriousHeartland.com, and they can see the entire list there. But let's start out, and actually number 10 on your list is really interesting because what's more scary than an old sanatorium? And the San Haven Sanatorium in North Dakota hits your list at number 10. What can you tell us about that place?
Well, it's built up in the Turtle Mountains, not far from the Canadian border in North Dakota. And it opened in 1912 as a tuberculosis hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of these places, it closed down in the 1980s. And the property is currently owned by Chippewa Indians. So it's currently abandoned. It's an abandoned hospital. So, of course, that attracts all kinds of attention from people who want to go exploring and taking pictures and things like that. But it actually can be dangerous. Like it says on the site, in 2001, there was a kid, a 17-year-old kid, who died there after falling from one of the top floors.
Mm.
So it can be dangerous to explore these places. But, of course, you hear stories about people see apparitions on the ground or the sound of a baby crying. So generally, it's a pretty creepy place even without the stories.
And abandoned buildings in general just have a way of having that feel to them, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number 9 on your list is of interest because actually it's about 30 miles down the road from our studios here, and that's Mount Marty College. And I've actually heard a few things about Mount Marty College, but tell us more about that.
Well, it's a Catholic college founded in 1936. It's a very small school of around 1,000 students, which is, to me, that seems very small. My college had 10,000 students, and I thought that was pretty small. But supposedly, there's a room here, room 200,
mm-hmm.
that was plagued with paranormal activity. There's a lot of strange things going on there. So they stopped using it for many years.
Yeah.
In Corby Hall, there's supposedly the ghost of a young woman who vanished. She disappeared around an unknown date, and her ghost is supposed to be seen in the elevator there.
Now, one thing I hadn't heard is that they actually stopped using that room. Is that still something that's going on?
That I do not know. You have to interview someone from the college.
One thing that's common among items in the Dakotas on your list here is that quite a few are from the Black Hills area, and we're going to get into those because they're actually at the top end of the list. Number six, though, is one I think a lot of people here in eastern South Dakota are familiar with and maybe have heard some of the stories about, the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm. That's a very beautiful theater. Opened in 1913, so it's a little bit over 100 years old. There was apparently, like, in the 1950s when new owners bought it, they found an old casket in the boiler room, which could have been a prop, probably. It's probably a likely explanation. But since this casket disappeared, there's been all kinds of strange activity. There's a figure of a man bathed in blue-green light on the balcony. People feel like icy air blasting against them. There's dark shadows. So all kinds of things, and theaters generally tend to be very haunted. I'm not sure if you could find very few theaters that don't have any kind of claims to supernatural activity.
Yeah, and most of them come from the same era. I mean, a lot of them are from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Is that kind of what's common among them, too?
Oh, yes. There were a lot of theaters built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that were repurposed several times, you know, that were abandoned for many years after the Great Depression. So you get a lot of these stories like that. There's a lot in Illinois as well that I've looked into.
But nobody knows what happened to the casket at the Orpheum.
No, apparently not. Apparently, after they found it, it went missing, and that's when all the trouble started.
Yeah. One of the most popular, or I should say one of the most talked about on your list among South Dakotans, is Hotel Alex Johnson in Rapid City. Boy, we've heard all kinds of stories about that, and maybe you can go into more detail for us.
The two haunted rooms there are supposedly 802 and 812. And the most famous story, I think, is room 812. That was supposedly haunted by the ghost of a woman on her wedding night. She, I guess, may have felt that her husband was going to leave her at the altar, so she was depressed and threw herself from the window. So people staying in that room have experienced strange activity. I actually, I drove out to South Dakota in 2000, I think it was the spring of 2014, and I stayed at the Hotel Alex Johnson and at the Bullock Hotel, which is also supposed to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very nice hotel. I actually talked with a couple of friends of mine, one of which I went to college with, who later moved out there and worked at the hotel. And she didn't tell me specific stories, but she did say that it was definitely haunted, that she had worked with a number of people who had told her interesting encounters.
Many people have shared those stories. You mentioned the Bullock Hotel. That's number one on your list. We'll skip to that, and there's one I actually want to come back to, but tell us about the Bullock Hotel and how the stories have come to be from the Bullock Hotel in Deadwood.
Well, that's probably one of the most famous haunted hotels in the United States. That also was featured on Unsolved Mysteries in the early 90s. And that's supposedly haunted by Seth Bullock himself. I'm a big fan of Western history in general. You know, I love that series on Deadwood. So it's kind of interesting that you could go stay at the hotel that Seth Bullock built and possibly encounter his ghost. People say that they can smell his cigar, or they hear the sound of his boots walking the hallway. I think it at one time it had burnt down and it was rebuilt. So It's kind of interesting. You have those layers of history there. There's also this restaurant in the basement, which was actually not open when I was there. I don't know if they were renovating it or not, but that's supposed to be where the majority of activity takes place.
Something for people to remember when they head to Deadwood, check out the restaurant as part of the Bullock Hotel there. I want to come back to this one because this one I was not familiar with, and I actually lived in Aberdeen for a while, and I hadn't heard about this. This is Easton Castle, and it's number 2 on your list. Again, I hadn't heard about this one, so please tell us more.
It's actually a Queen Anne-style mansion. In case anybody was actually picturing a castle, there's a lot of these kind of mansions from that era that sometimes referred to as castles, but it was owned by a woman named Carol Frances Easton, and that's where it got its name from. But they employed the niece of L. Frank Baum, who actually wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
And it's not confirmed, but it's suspected that he based the character of Dorothy on his niece. So she, her ghost is said to haunt the house. Apparently, after the owners died, their son kind of shut himself up in the house and didn't venture outside. And eventually, it just sort of fell into disrepair, which of course attracted even more stories from people passing by.
It would sure be fun to do some walkthroughs on some of these places.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know. I believe it's privately owned right now.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these houses with sort of famous namesakes give tours and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something to look into.
You bet. Our guest is Michael Queen. He's editor of MysteriousHeartland.com. And last year he wrote a piece, The Top 10 Most Haunted Places in the Dakotas. You can see that at his website, MysteriousHeartland.com, and so much more information on unsolved crimes, missing persons, conspiracy theories, unexplained paranormal activity. Michael, are you working on a book or another piece like this as we speak right now?
Well, I am. I have a book that's being published right now. It's actually a history of witchcraft in Illinois. So that should be very interesting. I'd like to expand that into a book about the Midwest, like the history of witch beliefs in the Midwest, which is something that you don't hear very much about. You know, everybody kind of talks about the Salem witch trials, mm-hmm. but you know, people don't realize that there were plenty of folks who believed in witches out in the Midwest as well.
Yeah. Michael, we are out of time, but we'd love to have you back sometime. We want to thank you very much. Happy Halloween to you.
Oh, happy Halloween. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Michael Queen, again, editor of MysteriousHeartland.com, and Lori Walsh back with us from our studios in Sioux Falls. Are you convinced? Do you have any places you'd like to visit now?
I'll tell you, you can do those fun walkthroughs all by yourself, Steve, and come back and tell me all about it.
I would love to, but I need somebody to hold my hand. So
yeah, you're on your own.
All right.